The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1067. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Just how good has Alex Golish and this Auburn football staff been? We get to talk about that all day today. It's Friday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yes, welcome in. The free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you inside the studio, and very happy to be inside the studio. My goodness, the summer heat is finally here upon us in Auburn, Alabama, and so very happy to be inside the studio here this afternoon. It's been a fantastic week and a fantastic show we have for you coming up here this afternoon. We gave a couple of teasers on the way out yesterday, and we mentioned the guy by name who has a little bit more knowledge than we do in terms of the recruiting side of things, and really, really excited to be able to dive into everything that Alex Golish, DJ Durkin, and this entire staff have been able to do in the 2027 recruiting rankings and all of the conversations in terms of Auburn football. I welcome in my man Trip Upton here sitting across from me in the studio. Happy Friday, sir. Hopefully all is well. Looking forward to another really good weekend.
Yes, happy Friday. Excited. I'll be up in Birmingham this weekend going to see a comedy show out in Hoover. So I'm excited to go do that. I haven't been up to Birmingham much, even as an Auburn student, which is kind of odd to say. But look, I'm excited. It's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a great show today before that. So great way to start out your weekend right here on ESPN 106.7.
Yeah, definitely so. Definitely so. An hour, or I guess a guest, rather, in each hour, and really, really excited for what today holds. And we welcome in our man who has been a longtime friend of the show, a guest multiple times on the show, and a name that you see quite often in terms of the Auburn football recruiting side of things, the Auburn recruiting expert for Auburn 24/7, Auburn Undercover, Mr. Christian Clemente. Welcome in to be the second Christian here this afternoon, but thanks for taking the time to join us here this afternoon. I know that everybody's really looking forward to diving into everything here this afternoon.
Yeah, happy to be here. It's been a pretty dead quiet month, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot, nothing to talk about whatsoever. No, it's been we've really tried to find content here on this show in terms of especially Auburn football, and there's no drama with Auburn basketball either, with the NBA draft or the scheduling, anything. So really, really hard to find a whole lot of content to dive into, and I guess we're rather thankful for what Alex Golish has been able to do, because it's driven a lot of conversation, a lot of engagement, to where we've been able to give our kind of deep dives into everything that Auburn football's already done, but I know that this is your life. This is what consumes you just about every single day of the year. I know that you are very happy now that July is approaching, as you kind of hit that dead period of the summer where it feels like you can actually go and experience life, experience the world again, rather than sitting at the football facility or sitting at the Waltz Off just waiting for the next big name to drop.
Yeah, it's look, June is a blast, and it's exciting, and it's a lot of fun. It's also very tiring, way more so for the football staff than me. I mean, I'm sitting here, like, complaining, sure. And they're doing way more work than I am. But look, it's busy, it's hectic, but it was very, very busy in a good way for Auburn, for Auburn fans. I think if you would have told Auburn fans exiting, let's say going into July 1st or even going into August, you know, because some kids make July decisions, mm-hmm. if you would have told them Auburn has – 10 to 15, maybe 12 to 15 commitments, and they're ranked 15 to 20 somewhere in there. I think everyone would be pretty pleased with that.
Very much so.
You'd feel like, okay, like, get a couple wins this fall, maybe get a couple different guys to flip or get some other positive news and feel really good about it. Instead, you're entering July and you've got 24 commitments and you're currently ranked number 8 in the country. And it's like, okay, well, where did this come from? I mean, being completely honest, it was something I didn't even really see coming. going into official visit season. I knew they could get some guys, and we had seen that even beforehand with guys who committed before OVs, Mison Johnson-Cook, Leighton Von Brandt. Mm-hmm. But look, in the NIL revenue sharing era, any school can really kind of get anybody if you decide to go all in. So then right. It was kind of, okay, well, what can they do with some of these other ones? And you know, we'll talk more about it, but they very quickly proved like they are a very good staff in terms of recruiting. They understand it. They get it. They get it in a different way than the last staff. The last staff recruited really, really well as well outside of last year. And at that point, I mean, the write-in was kind of on the wall, but it's been kind of two different approaches in terms of recruiting, very different recruiting now, even compared to a couple of years ago. So it's been, I've had to learn this summer. It was not a summer that I fully expected to go the way it did.
Sure. A good problem to have, though, and really excited to, again, dive into everything in terms of the previous regimes and just that style of recruiting and then the differences that you've seen with this staff. And just a shout-out to anybody. The phone line's closed here this afternoon, especially in hour number one, just with our thoughts, wanting to give Christian as much time to dive into everything and give as much information for everybody out there. But we highly, highly encourage you reach out in the text box if you don't mind. 334-784-1685. Again, 334-784-1OTL. Any questions that you have for Mr. Clemente in terms of the recruiting side of things, in terms of what he's seen from the staff, anything on the recruiting front, feel free. Send us any questions that we can ask Christian to dive into. And so really excited for today, and I guess more so wanted to kind of dive into, before we dive into the actual recruiting side of things, when the initial news broke of AG Alex Golish being named the head coach, and then I guess after that the 2 or 3 weeks in terms of keeping DJ Durkin, bringing all of the other guys from South Florida as well. What was kind of the overall mindset in terms of the recruiting side of things? Was there a lot of optimism? Was it a little bit more, okay, we're going to wait and see? We know the success that he's had on the field, but what was the overall level of excitement or concern when he was first making that hire?
Yeah, I think it was nervous excitement.
Sure.
If that makes sense. I think that there were a lot of people on the boards, and you know, even from my perspective, I was like, okay, you can see the path to success, but will they be able to do it, especially in terms of what he's inheriting as an Auburn program that's kind of in the dumps and, you know, having the worst stretch it's had in a really, really long time. And, you know, that's not Alex Golish's fault, but it's still going to be held against Auburn. So you're like, okay, well, what can they really do here? But he puts together the staff, and it's a staff that you really, really liked on paper. You liked DJ Durkin. You liked the guys that they filled in there on defense. You loved keeping Vontrell King-Williams. And then offensively, Golish kind of brings most of his guys over in terms of that, and then fills with some other pieces like a Larry Porter, like a Larry Scott. But you could see how they would be able to recruit really well. I mean, Golish got his start in recruiting. Mm-hmm. He was a recruiting coordinator or something like that, one of those titles that personnel mm-hmm. staffers have. And so it made a lot of sense that that's something he would be pretty aggressive in terms of recruiting, and he would get it. He would understand the intricacies and the details and the small things that you need on visits and all those kind of things. And we've seen that all kind of come to life over the past 6 months or so now.
Yeah, did get a text in the On the Line text box. Again, feel free, send us any questions you have here this afternoon, 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And talking about the comparisons of the regime and the way that this coaching staff goes about their business, whether that's on the recruiting side of things or whether that's just in the day-to-day, what's been the biggest differences that you've seen, and I guess going beyond the music that you see during the practice sessions?
Yeah, I think in terms of just the way this staff has recruited has been pretty darn aggressive. I mean, that's kind of what I just said in the last answer, but that's just the way that it's kind of been. One of the things that's been said to me was that in terms of trying to get Alex Golish on the phone with, let's say, 20 recruits every night or something like that, he struggles to get past 10 or 12. Again, these are just hypothetical numbers.
Sure.
Because he's talking to the kid for so long and he's building such a strong relationship with him. And he's so conversational. And we've seen that in press conferences too.
I'd say
some long-winded answers, but they're genuine in mm-hmm. terms of coming from recruiting, or at least that's been the vibe that's been given off. And so this staff, they've been doing it a ton. You talk about guys that are assistant coaches, and you know, even the guys under the assistant coaches, like Coach Hoodie there on the offensive line, But then he's got Coach Cap, who came over from Alabama, Parker Ball, Micah James, all those guys. There's a lot of different guys on this staff that are ultra-aggressive on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen that already through one, I wouldn't say full cycle for Alex Golish yet, but still inheriting that 26 class, that it was a little bit of the Freeze, Durkin era, and then you have him bring in some bigger recruits near the end of that class once he was able to get established. Talk to me about some of those guys and what Auburn fans could expect on the field this year with them.
Yeah, it was interesting in terms of having to try and piecemeal that class together. I think some fans were disappointed with Auburn's finish in the 26 class, and they were like, oh, well, Hugh Freeze came in, and he signed a solid class in that kind of first transitional class. What people forget was Freeze was hired at the end of November, and at that point, signing day wasn't until around December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So he had multiple weeks to go out and see guys, get guys on campus, bring them back on, you know, whatnot. Alex Golish was hired on Sunday after the Iron Bowl, I believe, and then signing day was Wednesday. So in terms of putting it together, it was pretty impossible. You just try to keep some guys, bring some other guys, but they were really smart in the way they did it. You know, you look at two of the former Michigan signees that got out of their agreement after Sherrone Moore was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Bear McWhorter, you can never have too many offensive linemen. Brady Marchese, another guy from the state of Georgia that Auburn likes. In terms of guys making an impact this year, I'm trying to think of that class. I'm so like 2027 class oriented right now.
Sure, right.
You can almost name just like anybody defensively because there were so many freshmen that had to play such meaningful snaps that you're almost, I mean,
I was going
to
say it'll
right
be, it'll be interesting to see what he can do because he's a summer guy. So that kind of puts him in a disadvantage. And Dallas Walker is back and then Jordan Crawford is there as well. But look, Corey Wells is a big body. You can throw him out there and try and have him plug, some holes in some area of some sort out there on the defensive line. Here's one, and this name has been mentioned to me multiple times. I just thought of him. Wilson Zaire.
Yeah.
We saw him in the spring. We saw him starting to get first-team reps, and then he dealt with a bit of a foot or an ankle injury, something like that. I think that slowed his spring down, but everyone has mentioned to me how smart he is, and everything has come pretty quickly to him in terms of learning the system and whatnot. Still got a ways to go, and look, that's probably not a guy you want to be relying on.
Sure.
Because you don't want to have a freshman offensive tackle out there if you can avoid it. But the offensive line, you know you have to be deep. You know you have to have at least eight guys that you can count on because guys are going to go down, especially in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Guys are going to miss time. And I think Wilson Zaire is probably one of those backup tackles to start the year that could then have a chance to kind of play depending on what happens from there.
Yeah, you mentioned the word aggression in terms of the 2027 recruiting class. Again, we have Christian Clemente here with us in the studio for Auburn or from Auburn 24/7. And what was the were the conversations? Obviously, it was very aggressive and had to happen very quickly in terms of being hired right after the Iron Bowl and then signing day being that Wednesday you mentioned. But the conversations of retainments, right? You feel like that's such a big conversation nowadays of you have the portal, you have the recruitment, but then you also have the retainment, which you feel like blends into both of those, unfortunately, nowadays. But what were some of the conversations beyond just the, I guess, what the narrative say of, okay, well, do you love Auburn? Do you still want to be here beyond that and I guess the commas in the bank account, what are some of the conversations that happened for retainment that Alex Golish tried to prioritize?
Yeah, I think it was a it kind of comes down to your first point in terms of do you love Auburn, do you want to be here. I think that was one of the biggest things, and you saw it on defense, and a lot of these guys are connected to coaches.
Yeah.
DJ Durkin stays, Vontrell King-Williams stays, and look, the side of the ball that has most of the guys that stuck around is defense, so that makes sense. Offensively, I think it was just kind of it is what it is. They were going to lose some guys, and then there were guys that Alex Golish wanted to bring in, and yes, you would probably like to have some of those guys still here, but
sure.
I think they feel really comfortable with where they're at in terms of the guys that they brought in. Mm-hmm. I think they feel great about the fact that, you know, yes, the offensive line is piecemealed together a little bit, and there's some question marks there. But I think they feel great about the fact that Cole Best is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's here with Byron Brown, and just that familiarity with the receivers. And then you built up just a loaded running back room with the return of Jeremiah Cobb. That was a huge one. And then adding pieces around him. So in terms of retainment, I mean, it was just there's no way to describe what that kind of month was like
sure,
in terms of chaos, because it was just as the rules change and as the calendar changes every year, this year the portal didn't open until January or whatever it was. And so then you had a full month of like, okay, well, we have to have conversations with these guys. We have to try and keep them. Other schools are back channeling to agents and high school coaches and whoever, and are tampering. And you know, look, everyone is doing it. You have to be doing it to stay alive in the transfer portal game. So it was just a month of madness, of pre-portal madness. And then there was the actual portal madness, which was even crazier.
Yeah, and how much chaos does that bring, not having the spring portal, right? I mean, you don't have that extra week after spring practice where you can go and, you know what, I wanted to almost free trial this school and maybe, you know, take a couple of dollars, but I'll almost have just that 30-day monthly subscription. But as soon as I have to pay, I'm gonna back out and find somewhere else. Or as you saw, a bunch of the kids return back to their previous schools that they were at. How much chaos does that bring? Obviously, a lot. But what does that look like just in terms of the recruiting side, of how much more desperation there seems to be in terms of making sure that you have more than enough pieces at just about every single group?
It was wild. I mean, you look at like offensive line, and Auburn was just taking guys that were just kind of popping up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And like that, this is like no offense to those guys, but like a guy like a Kenneth McManus out of Akron, it's like, okay, well, where did this guy just come from?
Yeah.
And but they were very smart in how they did it. You know, he's a younger guy. TJ Hedrick from Ole Miss, he's a younger guy. They were able to kind of build up at least some sort of layered depth across the different depth charts as best they could through the portal, and you know, bringing in 60 different new guys across high school and through the portal.
Where does that rank? Do you know? Like, is there a number off the where does Auburn rank in terms of just new additions? Well,
I don't know.
I know in the transfer portal, I know it's like top three or four.
It's got to be up there for one of the top like five.
I mean,
schools,
it has to be,
if not top three or first. I mean, it was just.
You think about like the LSU side of things, but
yeah,
you know, Auburn obviously right in there. Penn State, Virginia Tech, and what, like the Oklahoma State? Just all the first year head coaches that made that jump, or even just the coaches that made a jump, you feel like are always right up there in that conversation.
Yeah, so it was that, and just bringing in like, oh, well, this guy, and especially now with 105 spots, scholarship spots as well, it was like, okay, well, maybe this guy could help us here in this situation. Like a guy like a Hunter Herring, who was the ULM quarterback, who's now playing tight end for Auburn, and blocked punts at ULM, and he was one of the last transfer portal additions. In your head, you're probably thinking like, okay, well, maybe we could run him out at Wildcat quarterback, and maybe he could throw a couple blocks at tight end. Like he could give us a few snaps, and he's only got a year left. Like, oh, let's just bring him in. And when there's no spring portal, then that kind of leads to the madness at the end of just like, oh, this guy could maybe give us something. This guy could be a special teamer. This guy could do this, or this guy could do that. It was is very interesting. But I think coaches were probably really happy that there was no spring portal.
Oh, yeah.
And I would agree. I think that was a great change. And now that the new change that they're trying to do is make the initial portal window even smaller, which I would agree with as well. So,
Christian, looking at – while we're on the subject of the transfer portal – and the offense being the main benefactor of that, the defense also got some loaded guys. We talked about Cody Sigler yesterday, who ESPN named one of the top 10 transfers to watch out for in the SEC from Arkansas State. Deshaun Womack, if he is available to play, is another guy that was highly rated coming out of high school. Talk to me about kind of some guys that you were able to kind of see go through that process and get to Auburn that Auburn fans should be excited about.
Yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, obviously Byron Brown. We don't need to even talk about him. That one goes without saying. And I talked about
Cole, I don't know, West. That throwing motion, though. I don't know if people need to be hyped up about it.
Okay, well, the random Twitter bots, they cannot get excited about Byron Brown. But Auburn fans understand what's happening there. Talked about Cole Best. That's another one. The receivers, I think Keyshawn Singleton is a dude. Chaz Nimrod, I think he's a guy that if he can stay healthy, he can be really good as well. Joe Simmons might be one of my favorite portal additions. The JMU offensive tackle, probably your right tackle, but he can definitely play left tackle. We saw him playing left tackle in the spring with Stanton Ramel, dealing with, you know, trying to get healthy from those injuries that he had back at Michigan State. So those would be some of the guys. At tight end, I love Jake Johnson, another guy that just kind of needs to stay healthy, been in college football forever now. But Jonathan Echols is probably my sleeper there. Didn't get really talked about at all in the spring, mostly because he was going through it non-contact after a shoulder injury. But that's a guy that this staff really likes. He's gotten a lot bigger. That was a blue chip tight end coming out of high school that was committed to Tennessee. I think Tennessee moved on, and then he ended up at USF when Golish went there. And
He was their big their goal line threat, wasn't he? Didn't he have like six or eight touchdowns or something along those lines?
I think so, but he's a guy that's played a lot, and I think he's going to play a lot here. And then the running back room is just like a let's see what happens. Yeah. Still think Bryson Washington is probably the second guy behind Cobb, but you know, he was kind of trying to get healthy again in the spring as well, so that opened up the door for some other guys. And I know Auburn loves Omar Mabson, not a transfer guy, but a local guy that Auburn really likes as well. And then you've got so many other guys there as well. It'll be kind of interesting to see what happens there.
It's awesome being able to dive into just, even just guys like Joe Simmons that you mentioned that you feel like names that have kind of gone by the wayside because you don't hear about them every day, right? You hear all about the Keyshawn Singletons or the Deshaun Spencer types of news, and obviously not a transfer, but just the star names that you expect to hear. But having guys like a Joe Simmons that, yeah, by the way, played in the college football playoff last year and now is going to be on your team. I think there's still a whole lot of excitement when you dive into this roster, which we will continue to do as the weeks and as the summer goes on, being able to dive position by position and kind of get everybody refamiliarized with what Auburn's roster is going to look like this year in 2026. But we'll take our first break here in hour number one, because when we come back, talk about some names that Auburn's going to see in 2027, the eighth-ranked recruiting class in the country, and it's late June. What a great problem it is to have for Alex Golish and staff. We have Christian Clemente here in the studio with us to guide us through our entire hour number one conversation, talking all things Auburn football, all things Auburn football recruiting. We're back right after this here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute presented by Bucks Island. July 4th, 1776. Inside Philadelphia's Pennsylvania State House, 56 men prepared to sign a document unlike any the world had ever seen. A declaration that 13 small colonies would break away from the most powerful empire on earth. If they failed, it would be treason, punishable by death. John Hancock signed first boldly, then the others followed, farmers, merchants, lawyers. Ordinary men risking everything. Their words radical for the time, that all men are created equal. Now, 2.5 centuries later, that idea still echoes. One defining moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton. If you want to be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067.
Back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Another Christian here in the studio. Christian Clemente of Auburn 24/7 here with us in the studio as well for all of our number one. And had a really fun conversation diving into kind of the coaching strategies, the changes that he has seen. And we will continue to dive into and begin breaking down the 2027 recruiting class. But while we have just a few moments before the music kicks us out of here for the bottom of the hour break, we mentioned something over the break of how in terms of just NIL and the exhausting topic that is, even for us, much less for guys like you that have to cover these guys each and every day, and you hear the numbers that get tossed around. That being said, you said it over the break, you're not somebody that's handed the folder that has the written contract with it in bold of how much this player is making exactly. Is that a scare? Is that a fear for college football and college athletics of just not having that professional type of model of the black and white? This is what this guy is making, and this is why the evaluations are so much, or just the value of an offensive lineman nowadays, just because they hear that one guy's offering this, and okay, well, if I'm better than this guy, obviously it raises everything. Is there a fear of that, or is this kind of what the entire conversation of what NIL is trying to limit, trying to get the setbacks on?
I don't know if it's necessarily a fear. I just feel like that's where it's headed. Like, I feel like eventually we are going to get to the point where I don't know if it would be – I don't know how you – I mean, I don't know if it's fully open to the public. I don't know how you do it. But, like, that's how professional contracts are, and I feel like that's where things are headed, and they probably need to be headed that way,
yeah,
to be honest.
You just feel like it would eliminate, again, that gray area that is – almost all of college athletics now. I didn't know if it was a youth thing to where you couldn't list out numbers like that.
To be honest, I don't know. And that's maybe something that I should know. But
I'm not. I mean,
but it's. I think with if you got to the point of collective bargaining, mm-hmm. which is where it just feels like it's always continuing to trend that way, but they just refuse to like fully do it. Everyone's like, oh, we need collective bargaining. Then it's time for collective bargaining discussions. And they're like, oh, we can't do that.
No.
It's like, okay, well, what do you want here? But that's just kind of – it feels like you need to get to that point. And it would just make so much more sense in terms of, you know, you see the rumors on Twitter and stuff like, oh, this guy's getting paid this. And, you know, Auburn offered him a little bit more mm-hmm. or Vanderbilt offered him a little more or whoever. And it's like – okay, well, let's just get some actual numbers thrown out here.
Yeah.
Let's see what each school is spending every single year. Let's see what guys are making, and let's just make it easy. That's my take on it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people disagree with me, but that's how I would view it.
No, I mean, I think it makes sense, especially given the fact that, like, these are public – a lot of the case, at least, is public universities, and it's money that's going into these programs and then coming out with the University of Auburn, the University of Alabama, the University of Georgia – approval. And I think that – and I'd be curious if you agree with the idea of, again, like stadiums for NFL, they're publicly funded or everything is public with them. Shouldn't the same be the case for our universities?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree.
I don't know. Makes it to where there's so much gray area and it's exhausting right. to even, again, think about. So I can only imagine – when you're hearing about guys on visits and we've made the jokes a couple of times of meeting you on the field and it's like, all right, how many guys are here? What are the conversations? And it's like, how much can you pay me and how much can you play me? And it's like, those are obviously two of the dominating factors and a wild thought that they're trying to make changes now, but you feel like it's just the fear that you've gone so far so quickly that you have the fear of it not being able to come work its way back.
And then eventually someone's going to disagree with it and find a local judge that's in their favor and it's just
has that happened to, have they had disagreements and
there's been a couple
couple big ones couple maybe in college football other sports in there as well. We will not dive into that side of things today, even though there is Brendan Sorsby news that is worth mentioning because of the comedy of him being banned from the CFL if he tries to make his way to the Canadian Football League because they have the standards that they want to uphold. Kind of funny on that side of things, but we will. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will begin diving into this 2027 recruiting class for the Auburn Tigers, for Alex Golish, DJ Durkin, all of the names that you need to know, and maybe some that haven't committed yet that you will learn about here when we come back.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Here on this Friday afternoon on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being here with us, taking some time here on this free-for-all Friday edition. Hopefully getting your weekend started right, listening to ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Trip Upton over there, Christian Clemente over there, and Christian Griffin right here. That was great radio talk from my pointing.
Yes.
You know exactly where they're sitting. Trip in front of me, Christian off to my right, off to Trip's left.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. But we have delayed it long enough. The excitement of Auburn's 2027 football commits. And again, Christian, you mentioned it in the intro when we were first bringing you in of, okay, Auburn has 12, 15 commits here at this time. Even if you get that number, you feel as if you are in a very good spot. You feel as if you're very pleased just to be in the top 30, the top 25, puts you at a very respectable mark. I don't believe that anybody would have told you, you know what? When you take your dead period time, late June, early July, not only a top 15 class, a top 10 class, and Auburn sits at number 8 right now with 24 commits with the Auburn logo next to their name. And, I mean, whether that's Trevon Reed saying, we ain't done yet, you feel like you've seen it so many times, but how many days can you go with building another type of commitment, with getting another Alex Golish Eagle tweet on X? Because it feels like it has been the entire month of June has been absolutely dominated by the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, it was it was an impressive month, man. Talked about it at the very beginning of the show, but like going into it, just thought it would be a little bit slower. But look, the thing, as I've had time to reflect on it, the thing about recruiting is every year and every cycle is different, especially right now with so many different rule changes every year and different things and whatnot. Everything changes every single year for every single different recruiting class. Things are just different in terms of how guys take their visits, how many visits they take, all that kind of stuff. And the thing that happened this year, really across the country, not only just at Auburn, but it was almost like the transfer portal where it was like you want to get these guys on their official visit first.
First, yeah.
Because guys were committing really quickly. Guys didn't really commit. I mean, there were a handful of commitments before official visit season. There always are. But guys held off and said, oh, I'm going to take my official visits. And then it was like, oh, they took one official visit. And they're like, all right, I'm in. And that's really just not how it's been. The past couple of years, it's very much been more so towards taking all of their official visits. Guys are going to make their decisions, you know, before the full month of July went dead, guys would make their decisions at Big Cat and events like that at the end of July. Guys would make their decisions on the 4th of July, which is like my least favorite thing ever.
You aren't supposed to jump the gun. I was about to ask about how many commitment posts are we going to see with fireworks in the background? Because you feel like that's been a running joke for forever, yeah, for how many there are.
There's not many guys left, so I don't think there's going to be as many this year. Thankfully, look, now a recruit, you can make your decision whenever you want. I've had to cover Christmas Day, stuff like before. But
wasn't it Cam? It wasn't on Christmas Day, but he had all the stockings when he flipped from A&M to Auburn.
Well, and he committed to A&M on the 4th of July.
Oh, so he had the fireworks and then also had the Christmas stuff as
big
well.
Big holiday person.
Yeah, very much so.
And look, if you're a recruit listening to this, I'm just telling you this now. The 4th of July is one of the worst days to commit because people aren't on their phones. They're out at the lake. They're out having fun. They're out grilling. They're eating hot dogs. They're not paying attention to a commitment. It doesn't matter who you are.
Or if they are, there's eight of them. Your name kind of gets drowned out between all of the others, right?
Yes. Yes. So anyways, leading all the way back to what I was saying is a lot of guys would wait until July. They would wait until the end of June. A lot of these guys, this class, just committed early. They committed early to Auburn. They committed early to other schools. As we were looking ahead at the beginning of the month, it was like, okay, Auburn has like 60 guys scheduled to come in for official visits because the first weekend was 17, and then every other weekend was like 15, 14, 14. It was something like that. The numbers slowly dwindled as the month went on because Auburn's class filled up. Those guys that were taking official visits later in the month, they committed elsewhere, and everything kind of naturally ran its course to the end of the month, and most guys were committed. And now you see a couple of stragglers. There's a couple of guys that Auburn is still after right now, but there's not many. And you want to talk about this 27 class. I mean, it's a really balanced class. I mean, if you were done right now with your 24 commitments, there'd be a couple pieces that you still wish you had, like a Marquise Evans there at the 5, defensive end.
Sure.
But you've got a couple Buck linebackers. You've got 4 offensive linemen. 2 blue chippers, 2 a little more developmental guys. You've got your quarterback. You've got some running backs. You've got receivers now. You've got a couple defensive linemen. You've got your DBs. You got your linebackers. Like, you have everything pretty well filled out. You're just looking for a couple more pieces now, but it's just really impressive to look at. Like, there aren't really any holes. And, like, talking with my coworker Jason Caldwell yesterday, he pointed this out, like, previous years, dating all the way back to Gus, I mean, we've talked about the offensive line ad nauseum when it comes to Auburn, but like they would fill out a class and you could get a top 10, top 15 class and it would look really good and they would have 25 commitments, but it's like, okay, well, there's one offensive lineman.
Right.
Or there's 2 offensive linemen. It's like now you have 4 offensive linemen committed. You signed 5 last year out of high school. You got some young guys through the portal. Like, you can see what they're trying to do. You can see very clearly the vision. You can see that this staff is going to put an emphasis on running the football. They care about running backs. You've seen that through the portal now. You've seen that through high school recruiting now. You see positions they care about. They care about tight end. They want a legit guy there. You can see everything. And look, it might not work out. I'm not saying like this is perfect. Like, oh, their plan is great. Like, I don't know, but I know what their plan is. And like, I can see how they're executing it.
Right. It seems like there's at least a vision. It's not just blindly going in and getting whoever you can.
It's not star chasing. It's not, oh, we're going to go get this quarterback because he's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he doesn't fit your system.
Sure.
So I don't care if he's really good. Like, he doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
It's all stuff that makes sense.
Very funny you mentioned that, because that'll be a lot of conversation in hour number two, just in terms of if you had 3 years to build a championship roster, how would you do it? And so really excited to dive into that. You mentioned the quarterback by position, and I think Gary Chapman Jr. is one, the three-star from Snellville, from Brookwood High School. 6 foot, 190 pounds, and the athleticism is off the charts. The arm strength, which he has showed on social media, is off the charts as well. This was something that I don't want to say came as a little bit of a surprise or an underwhelming factor, but for a couple of months early in 2026, you saw Auburn's logo next to so many big time quarterbacks that again, it was down to the top three, down to the top five, and Auburn's logo was in just about every single one of them. What was it about Gary Chapman Jr. that Auburn ultimately decided to pursue?
Yeah, I think Auburn liked his skill set and his fit both on and off the field. You mentioned some of those big names, guys like Izzy Abrams, mm-hmm. who ended up committing to Miami. Auburn was in on him pretty heavily. The more they got to know him, the more they kind of faded on him a little bit. Will Mensel, look, they really, really liked him. They were really in on him. You just lost that one to Oregon.
Sure.
Like, that is what it is. I don't think Auburn was willing to go quite as high as Oregon necessarily was.
And how good of a problem is that? Before you've even coached a game for the Auburn Tigers, Alex Golish got beat by Oregon in a recruiting battle.
Yeah. So I think once they got to that point, it was like, okay, well, let's find a guy that makes sense for our system, that we feel like has some traits that work with what we're looking for, that's probably on the cheaper end a little bit, like,
sure,
no offense, but that's just like kind of the way you view things now. You have to, but I think it makes a load of sense, especially when you have a guy like Tristan Tia on the roster,
mm-hmm.
and you were pretty happy with the way he performed in the spring.
I'd say so.
If there were no other quarterbacks that you were dying to have, that you felt like, look, this guy is a game changer for us, like, this guy can compete in year one for us right away, why would you go out and break the bank on someone that you don't fully believe in, when you could then divert that money towards another offensive lineman in high school, towards Mycen Johnson Cook, who can play right away next year, towards a defensive lineman or an edge rusher? Like, there's no point in just throwing money at a quarterback just because you feel like you need to have a high-end one in your recruiting class. Gary Chapman fits what they like, and he might never play at Auburn. He might start at Auburn in year two. Who knows? But especially in the era of the transfer portal, it's really hard for me to get behind the idea of throwing money at a high school quarterback unless you're really convicted on what they can be and that they can be that guy within 2 years.
Sure, the hope factor.
Because getting them to stick around for a second year is a challenge, and getting them to stick around past the second year feels like that'd be impossible at this point in high school in roster retention.
Yeah, well, looking at moving from quarterback to running back, we have Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover. 247 Sports is the recruiting expert there. The running back position that has been kind of the focal point of this class, I'd say, so far. I mean, you have the big name of Mycen Johnson Cook, and then some movement a little bit further down with a guy like Kamani Williams committing, losing Kingston Miles at the same time to Missouri. Talk to me about kind of that process and that decision making of how Alex Golish and the staff went out and got a guy quickly when Missouri started pulling 4 miles.
Yeah, real quick, I'll touch on Mycen just to start. I mean, this is a guy who he's been described to me as a generational talent. Now, I don't know if he will be that, but this is a guy that this staff believes really, really highly in. I mean, you see him in person and he looks like an edge rusher. Like, he is huge.
Yeah, 6'2", 235.
And he runs a 10-4, I think, is his time in the 100. So, yeah, this is a guy that they really, really believe in. But then as I was talking about the vision, they want running backs and they want to rotate running backs. They don't want to just have a guy that's getting 25, 30 carries a game.
Yeah.
So getting a second high school running back was a priority in this class. They've had a bunch of different guys throughout the spring kind of leading up into the summer that they really liked, Kamani Williams and Kingston Miles being two of those. Obviously, they got Kingston committed first before Kamani could even come on campus for his visit. He ends up taking his official visit to Missouri a couple weeks later that he had previously planned. Auburn knew that. Auburn stayed in contact with him. And kind of leading into that final weekend, that final official visit weekend, they felt like they could hold on to Kinston Miles. They felt like they were in a good spot there. But they really also like Kamani Williams. And look, Kinston Miles is a kid from Missouri. He's gonna he's gonna pop back up on campus there. So the staff kind of pulled off a secret visit, got Kamani Williams on campus. By the time his visit was done on Sunday, he had just committed to West Virginia the week before, but he was getting ready to leave Auburn. And he said, "I don't want to leave. You know, I want to commit to Auburn." And Auburn had kind of thought through the situation already. And if it got to that point where they were getting his commitment, they were just going to move on from Kinston Miles. And so Kamani Williams commits to the staff on Sunday morning. I think he went public Sunday night, if I remember correctly. And at that point, when he went public, Auburn informed Kinston Miles he no longer had a spot in their class. And they were moving on. And so he obviously, you know, quote unquote, flips to Missouri.
Right.
At that point, I mean, he wasn't considered an Auburn commitment anymore.
It was,
it was behind the scenes. And so, look, we'll see which one is better. I think Kinston Miles is ranked a little higher, probably a guy that projects a little bit better. But in terms of filling out a second running back in this class and not wanting to deal with hassle all year long and getting into, you know, maybe a bidding war or whatever, it made a lot of sense to me in how they approached it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I know you mentioned Mycen Johnson-Cook, and I wanted to ask, looking at this class from top to bottom, Auburn, the eighth class on 247 Sports in the ranking-wise, highest one without a five-star commit. Do you think a guy like Isaac McNeil or Mycen Johnson-Cook or who else are you looking for could jump up to that five-star status anytime soon?
Ooh, that's a good question. Anytime soon, not really, because we won't really update the rankings again until probably midway through their senior year.
Right.
But in terms of guys that can make a jump, I mean, I think Mycen could. It's just tough because running back is not a position that usually gets ranked super highly just because recruiting services don't view it as a premium position.
Sure.
I think a guy like Leighton Von Brandt would have a chance because he's a big offensive tackle. So how he looks as a senior will be interesting. Isaac McNeil definitely has a chance. Again, though, linebacker, not a fully premium position. Like, you only see a linebacker, maybe two linebackers that are five stars in every class, just because of how they view that. Those would be some of the main guys I would look for. I'm trying to think of, like, another sleeper. Like, Chance Gilbert, I really like him, but I don't know if, as a safety, he would get all the way up. Those would be kind of the main ones. The first ones that I mentioned, I think Mycen will probably have the best chance. Well, I don't know. I talked to one of the rankings guys at 247 the other day, and he said Isaac McNeil, like, he's the fourth ranked linebacker in this class, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think he's ranked like 63rd.
Maybe? Look at that.
Boom.
Okay. For those that didn't know, Christian does not have the other Christian, the good Christian, Mr. Clemente, doesn't even have a computer, doesn't have it open. And so he's naming all of these guys off of knowledge and, I guess, off of job.
Staring at the commitment screen too much. But I think the number one ranked linebacker in this class is somewhere in the 40s. And the 247 rankings guy was saying, like, look, Isaac McNeil has a very real chance to be the number one linebacker in this class. And if he's that, then he's right there in five-star territory.
Mm.
To me, if you're a top 50 player, like, the top 32 players, for those that don't know, are five stars.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you're 33 through 50, you're not a five-star, but you're a fringe five-star.
Sure.
Like, I'm going to refer to you as a fringe five-star. Like, you're right there. Yeah. You're on the cusp.
And we're at the point now of, with the transfer portal on how much value it plays, the star rankings, yes, still have value, and they always will, but you've gotten almost a little bit to that point of getting system fits, and you don't – you don't really see guys, all right, this school is three-star university anymore, right? Just because you feel like the value of these star rankings, quote-unquote, have gone down a little bit rather than the system fits, which you have mentioned multiple times.
Yeah, and, like, look, you can't stack five stars anymore.
Yeah.
Like, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, these schools, like, they can't stack them
anymore.
Yeah,
you're not bringing in seven of them anymore.
Yeah, you just can't do it. Like, guys aren't going to do that in the transfer portal era. So you have to be smart in how you recruit. And, like, that's what I've loved about how Auburn has done this. Like, in this class, again, going back to the offensive line because that's the easiest example, but, like, you've got some blue chippers there, but you also have some developmental guys and guys that you feel like will probably stick around in this era. A guy like Rance Brown, yes, he's not ranked super highly. He's literally come out and said on the record, like, I know I'm a developmental guy. I know I need some time. but I'm going to work really hard. I love Auburn. This is the place I want to be.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work to try and be that guy eventually. And that's what you need. Like, you have to build up your offensive line, or you have to build up different rooms that way. You have to go out and you have to get some blue chip talent. You have to get some guys that are elite at what they do. And then you have to go and find some guys that have some tools. They have some traits, but they don't have all of them, or at least they don't have them yet. That's kind of how you have to try and attack it, especially in this transfer portal, this 105, this new era that we're in.
Well, that, and you hope that the coaching staff can bring out the pieces that they may not have from, yes, from the high school levels, which is something that you have to play a little hope for, play a little trust in. And I think Alex Golish and this Auburn staff has, they've built a whole lot of that trust. As we head to break for the final time, did get a text in the text box. I guess don't have time for all three of us to answer. If it's not Mason Johnson Cook, it's not Isaac McNeil. We've kind of already hit on this and maybe have mentioned them. Your favorite player right now in the 2027 class?
Oh, man. Favorite player in terms of what they could be at the next level? I will say...
I'll make it even more difficult. A three-star that is your favorite.
Okay, well, that's... Okay. That was mean. I didn't need that. favorite player in terms of what they could be? He's not a three-star, but I'll say James Pace.
Sure, okay.
Like him. Favorite player in terms of a three-star would probably be Kareem Palmer.
Yeah.
The linebacker, love him. He has great speed. Favorite player in terms of actually just like being around them and their personality? I'm just adding to the question here, but I'm trying to think of – I think that's a fun way to answer it,
sure,
a little bit.
Yeah.
I like Nyaire Crum a lot. Really good kid.
Awesome.
So there you go.
Perfect. Well, there you go. Hopefully build some more and more excitement. We'll take our final break here. We ran this segment a little bit long, but we'll take our final break here in hour number one. Come back and wrap up the first hour right after this.
You are on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Christian Clemente in the studio as well. And don't have too long before the music kicks us out of here. But on the way out, my man, some names that Auburn fans need to kind of keep their eyes open for over the summer months and into when you get to that real signing day period where Auburn tries to make a little bit more noise.
Yeah, look, there aren't many names left right now. Marquise Evans, the edge rusher, defensive end from Spain Park. He's the main guy I'm watching. I think he's the guy that Auburn has the best chance to add here in the next couple of weeks. Auburn's in it with Tay Walden still, yeah, but that's going to be a battle with Oregon. Look, anytime you're against Oregon, you kind of just fade Auburn or really any school in recruiting. Nico Compass, the offensive tackle, originally from Germany, favor Tennessee there, but Auburn's going to keep fighting that one until the end. And then, look, you see it every single year in recruiting. There will be attrition in Auburn's class. There will be attrition in other classes as well. Auburn will have a chance to go and get some guys, late sleepers that pop up as seniors, JUCOs. So there will be names that pop up over the course of the fall, but those are some of the immediate names to kind of watch right now.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time, my man. I know the music is kicking us out of here. Plug everything you got really quickly before we get out of here now, number one.
Yeah, it's all just over at auburnundercover.com, so go check us out over there.
No, you know where you need to be. Mr. Christian Clemente joining us here in the studio. Hour number one on Free For All Friday edition, and a really fun segment in hour number two that we have that came from the text box last week. We make a full hour of the conversation. You have 3 years to build a championship-level program. How do you do it? Make a little game show out of it as we welcome Jack Hutton into the studio for hour number two.